I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 735. This is your host, Danny. And also joining me this week, we have Paris. Hola, ¿cómo estás, Paris? I'm trying to sound in Spanish, but it doesn't sound right. But what's up, Paris?
Buenas tardes.
Buenas. ¿Cómo estás, Paris?
Mi amo, Paris. ¿Qué hora es? 7:20.
Okay.
Oh, no, 6:20.
6:20.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I got. we pushed it to the limits of my sixth grade Spanish education.
Oh, man. And also we have here el señor Pete Toledo.
Me llamo Pedro.
Oh, Pedro, yes, that's how you call it. That's what you say in Spanish. Pete is Pedro. In Spanish.
Pedro. Sí, me llamo Pedro.
Awesome,
bienvenido,
man.
Al show.
Bienvenido, man. What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm very excited. A couple of things going on this week, man. Going to Orlando for PodFest, live podcast. Also, a special screening of our documentary in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, 10 a.m. Dominican Republic time. Super excited about that. Lots of things. And I think more things coming up later this month. Can't talk about it just yet, but I'm very excited for that too, man. So we're busy. Super busy. How are you guys, man?
Doing all right. It's been a long day, I think, for more than one person on this show. So, and it's, I'm, as sometimes we sometimes come onto the show and it's almost like, ugh. We got to do another show. I'm kind of actually, as now that the show is on, I'm kind of like in my comfort zone behind the controls. So I'm fine with it right now. Right. Like it kind of brings me back into ease, into my happy place. So yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Oh man. What's up with you, Paris?
I'm okay.
All right. Very short answer from Paris.
Nah, like Pete says, it's been a long day. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, man. By the way, breaking news. This is a leak. So there was rumors that there's a developer that's been working on the Metro Prime 4. And there was a YouTuber. I can't remember his name. Sorry, I apologize, sir. He went to LinkedIn and found the developer for Metro Prime 4. And he also discovered an exclusive game that they're also working on for the Nintendo Switch. Can you guys guess who it is? Which company it is? Pete, Paris, no guess?
Treyarch.
Pete, wrong. Paris? Paris?
Who the developer is?
Yep, the developer.
I got nothing.
All right, Namco Bandai.
Okay, it's funny. That's what I was thinking, but I was thinking, isn't Namco Bandai the publisher and not the developer?
Well,
this person.
No. This person put it under his LinkedIn profile, works at Bandai, and he mentioned that he's working on two games. One is Metro Prime 4. He's developing that. It says exclusive first-person shooter for the Nintendo Switch. Come on, let's be real. It says first-person shooter / adventure is Metro Prime. And the second game, Ridge Racer, a new one for the Nintendo Switch. Interesting. Just wanted to say that very quick. Paris and Pete, they don't sound too excited, but okay, let's go to the topic.
I wouldn't say I'm not hyped. Honestly, Metroid was just never a game that stuck with me as much as, you know, the other ones. You know what I mean? So, like, cool that it's coming back.
Somebody should go like this to Pete.
No, and didn't Namkai. You know what I mean? But didn't they they make a DS Metroid game? I seem to remember this. I feel like they did. That's why I was like, well, they've already done it before. That can't be right. So that's why I was thinking something else.
Double check on that. I can't remember. All right. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback over there. Also, you could go to radio.com. We're available there. Or the easiest way to find us, go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And if you have Apple Podcasts, make sure to review us. Keep it up. It will help us out big time. And also share with your friends, family, teacher, coworkers. Just let them know about GTR. It will help us out big time. February 25th. I know I've been mentioning this a lot. The world premiere of our documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story. We're going to premiere it live on Twitch, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Make sure to tune in live. And if you miss it, we're also going to have it available on video on demand. So very, very excited. But I think it would be cool if all of us could join, watch together the premiere of the documentary, my first film. Really cool. And get your popcorns ready. It's going to be a very, very cool moment for us, man. So, and that's it. We're going to Orlando this week, Friday at 6:30 p.m. We're going to have a live podcast over there during PodFest. So make sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook. I'll post pictures. And I'm still working on the live stream situation. We'll see if we can stream it live from there.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so there was new details that was posted from a Game Informer of Metro Exodus. There's been a couple of new information about the game, 4K HDR and Xbox One X, lighting, weapons. They said that the developers were saying that this game is going to be a lot larger, like the world's going to be bigger compared to the previous games too, man. So your thoughts about this, man? You know, I think Metro been a cool game in the past. It's been, but it hasn't been this hype like this one right here. Your thoughts?
This is the one that was announced at E3, right?
Yep.
How legit is the source, though?
What do you mean, the source?
How legitimate is the source? Like, so they're saying it was an insider from Reddit.
No. This is an interview from Game Informer, the latest Game Informer.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Like you said, yes, it was from Reddit, but I think he has because I seen the cover of the magazine. I think it was one of the PR for with this company. They posted it on Facebook games and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. No.
So it says that this game is going to be 10 to 18 times the size of the open areas in The Last Light from the last game from Metro. I think that's huge, man. That's pretty big. Really, really big. A lot of side quests, too.
Yeah. If that's the case, then it's going to be... You're going to be in for a treat. I don't know. Danny, did you play any of the other Metros?
Yeah, I played it. I played it for the 360. And I had it also... Not the 360. I had it for the Steam machine.
Okay.
And that's how I started playing those games.
Yeah, because...
And it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Metro's a fun game. It'll get you... Once you get into that environment, you kind of get hooked. So...
And it's challenging, too. Mm-hmm. It was really challenging. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm glad. And considering them saying that it's going to be, you know, 10 to 14 times larger than the original, it can only get better. I mean, that's one of those games that, like, just, I don't know, just, it wasn't always just like a linear game, right? So I like that it's going to be more open world. I like the fact that, and it's always been like the graphics and environments on that game has always been one that really pushed the limits. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that thing fares on my 1080 Ti. So I'm stoked.
Paris, you played this game in the past on your PC or console?
Seeing that I reviewed it for Gamertag Radio, I would say yes, I did.
Oh my God, I don't remember this. Really, you did? I don't remember this at all.
Sure did. When they remastered it for Last for Light, Xbox One. When 2033 in Last Light came to Xbox One, I reviewed it. Matter of fact, one of the last games I ever played on the Xbox One.
Hmm.
And
thanks, Metro.
I know. I would just say I'm a huge fan of the series, and I would say for 4A games, this has the potential of this being there, and not in the same type of game, obviously, but this having the same impact on the studio that The Witcher 3 had for CD Projekt Red. I think that's how big this game could be for 4A games and literally push them into the top tier developers, which honestly, I think they already are, because the Metro series has been so underrated since it first debuted, you know, with 2033, and they've just been an A-plus developer. I think this will finally give them their shine and the light that they deserve. And, you know, they had the stage last year at the Xbox press conference. That was, like, in my opinion, one of the highlights that we saw at the press conference last year. So I would assume we'll probably see them on the stage with Microsoft again this year, and they'll probably just do a full demo on Xbox One X, like, you know, like this is saying, get the whole Xbox One X treatment with the HDR and all that stuff. I'll most likely, you know, play this on the PC. So again, with 4A games, with the Metro games, they've always been a good stress test for graphics cards on the PC side. So I'll be curious to see what the requirements will be later this year when it comes out. Knock on wood that it does come out in 2018. Wouldn't shock me if it slipped.
Do you think it was because of the whole marketing that the game was slept on?
Well, again, 4A games is, I mean, this is, are they Russian? They're Russian, right?
No, they're from Malta. It's like a Mediterranean island.
That region of area. I mean, think of them as being CD Projekt Red 10 years ago. Think of it that way. Mm. I mean, great, you know, great small studio, very talented, putting out this game that, you know, has had a nice cult following to it. But, you know, again, they don't have the marketing budget. They've never really had a big publisher behind them. I think what Deep Silver got behind them for Last Light, and now they're behind them again for Exodus. So, I mean, Deep Silver isn't the biggest publisher, but they're not the smallest either. They're kind of right in the middle. So I think they'll get a nice run during the summer this year, get a nice little marketing push, ramping up the holiday when it comes out.
Well, let's go over the next topic, man. This is not an official announcement. This is just more of a leak. But rumors are saying that the next Red Dead Redemption 2 game, this is going to have Battle Royale.
Mistake. It's already happening.
I don't see how it's any different than what, Cops and Robbers now? How is that any different from Battle Royale?
Too many games are doing this now. That's going to be the theme of the rest of this year and next year, is everyone's going to have their Battle Royale mode. It's going to wind up being too much. I'd rather see them, instead of do that, they're Rockstar, do something out of the box. That's what I'd rather see with their multiplayer. Something we're not expecting, instead of just latching onto whatever the new hotness is. And again, this is rumor, so hopefully maybe it is a unique take on it that we're not realizing. But I hope it's just not a simple copy and paste of the Battle Royale formula.
But here's the thing, though, Paris. I mean, I agree with you that there's too many games now that are going to be adding this, right? But at the same time, isn't the same thing when there were so many games, 16-player, deathmatch, team deathmatch, multiplayer online, like Halo 2 and Rainbow Six in the past, Ghost Recon? I mean, there's so many games that did the same thing.
Remember when BioShock 2 did the same thing? Look how that turned out.
Well, wait. But that's not the same developers that worked on
it. No, but I'm making the point of what you just said, of everyone back then was doing 16-player deathmatch modes. I'm just saying, back then, in the late 2000s, BioShock 2 came out, another highly anticipated sequel from the original game. They felt the need that they had to stick that multiplayer in there, and it freaking flopped. More people played Lawbreakers than played BioShock 2 multiplayer. I mean, you know,
that's not a lot. Yeah.
And that's not a lot. I don't know, man. So, that's not that many.
See, I like it when, I mean, you can have your modes that match up or sync up with what's currently hot, right? So you want to have your you're going to have your death matches, you're going to have your last man standings, you're going to have your capture the flag, or in this case, money bags or money grab or something like that. But I think the battle royale for them is just going to be an extension of what they're already doing with Cops and Robbers, right? Where you've got a bunch of good guys and a bunch of bad guys on the other side, and they're, you know, one side is just trying to capture the other, etc. So they already have. We already know they've got the infrastructure to support massive multiplayer and you know, hundreds of people on a particular map at any given time. So I don't think that's going to be a concern. We know that they've got the know-how and the prowess to be able to deliver it. But I think I'm not surprised. Let's put it that way. There's just, and this isn't going to be the only game. Like Paris said, this isn't going to be the only game that's going to give you a battle royale flavor to their game. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see another 10 or 15 other titles come out in 2018 and, you know, beginning of 2019 that offer some kind of, you know, battle royale, you know, feature.
But here's the thing though. Like, I know we mentioned this a couple times about Halo and other games. Like, what else, for example, like what else they could do with 343? With Halo, besides the story, but multiplayer-wise, that like they're just going to keep it the same? Do you think it's good for them to change it up and maybe do something new, like maybe add this mode or something totally different?
Well,
because the thing is, after a while, playing the same team deathmatch and, you know, it's the same thing over and over again.
Well, I mean, look at Halo 5. They tried Warzone. I mean, I'd rather see the attempt to try something new than just keep doing the same damn thing over and over again. They tried something new with Warzone. Some people like it. Some people don't, you know, but I applaud the effort. And then I would assume with Halo 6, they're probably going to have Warzone 2.0, where they've taken the lessons learned from the community and the feedback, and then they perfect it. So, again, when I go back to Red Dead, my whole point on this is, sure, Battle Royale is the hotness right now. What if it's not the hotness 3 years from now? And we've already seen with Grand Theft Auto, people still buying that damn game. So it's not like Red Dead could necessarily go away 3 or 4 years from now. So I would like to see them try something different on the multiplayer space, that whether it succeeds or fails, at least they tried. That's all I'm saying. Instead of just, because like we said, Pete said, there's going to be 15 different Battle Royale games by the end of this year. We already know it.
Yeah. You're going to decide like, okay, so which one should I buy?
Yeah.
Yeah. PUBG. Now, what if it's 50 versus 50, but it's not the traditional PUBG style? 50 versus 50, cops and robbers type thing. Like P was saying. You think that's okay?
That's going to be like herding cats. I would love to see them try. But the whole reason the Battle Royale works is because you start restricting the map and you're forcing people into a choke point, so they have to engage with each other. I don't know. I mean, again, we'll see. This is all rumor. We don't know.
And you have to think about it. This is set in the Wild West, so it's not like they're going to be able to jump in a Jeep or a Dacia and start, you know, taking off. You're going to have to jump on a horse. You're going to have to jump on a donkey, or you're going to have to jump in a carriage of some sort and hope that you can get across, or a train or something like that to get across. And, you know, I don't know. I think the opportunity is there. I'd like to see them do that, but I think, and going more to what Danny was saying or asking earlier, what could, let's say, a Halo or a Call of Duty or something like that. I don't think you do something where you completely change up what their multiplayer is, but you do it with, like, you introduce one game mode, and if it works, you keep it in there. Then you throw in a second one, because you don't want to break up Halo, right? Halo, people go into Halo knowing Slayer and King of the Hill and, you know, and now Warzone, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it in the next Halo 6. But you don't want to go in and just say, okay, well, we're going to get rid of Slayer, we're going to get rid of, you know, Last Man Standing and all those other ones. You want to keep the ones that you know that the fans want, but you bring in a Battle Royale. You don't even have to, and you don't have to do a 100. You could do it with maybe, you know, 50 to 80. Keep it small. and then expand out. You can always expand out and you can always contract, but it depends on the reaction of your player base. If the player base reacts positively, then you know you've got something working and you keep iterating on it and making it better. And then if it doesn't work, you say, okay, well, it didn't work. We're gonna go into regression, pull it out. Here's a new mode that we've been working on the side. Do you guys like it? And that's how, and it's essentially kind of like, I guess, the Ubisoft method, right? You start feeding new opportunities or new games or game modes or features that say, okay, see how the public likes it. If they like it, you keep care and nurture and you keep feeding that until it grows and you keep feeding it. And then next thing you know, you've got a full blown hit a la Rainbow Six and all the other ones. So I think the opportunity is there. It's just what they do with it, whether they do it the right way to implement it, or if they just say, nope, you know, we're just going to stay old school and give you what we have.
Pete, quick question. How many you said that you think, how many games are going to have this? Maybe this year.
I wouldn't be surprised anywhere from 10 to 15. And remember, I'm not saying it's just going to be
10, 15. You want to hear something funny?
Well, hold on. Let me finish. I'm not saying there's going to be 10 or 15 dedicated BR games. There's going to be a minimum of 10 or 15 games that have either some kind of iteration on it. So obviously we've got the PUBGs, we've got Fortnite with their own version of it. So you think Red Dead Redemption, and, you know, hell, I wouldn't even be surprised if you see it working out on Red Dead Redemption. What's going to hold Rockstar from doing it for GTA Online? Why not? It's already there.
Well, the MPD says, the MPD group says that around 30 games will either add this mode or release this feature at launch in 2018. 30 games. A little bit too much.
So my question is does that 30 number include mobile and tablets? Because if that's the case, then you're already closer to 15 and 20 right now.
Yeah, it's too much. But they also said that the leak that they're also going to have like a first-person mode at launch for both campaign and multiplayer. Do you see yourself playing this first-person or just third-person?
I think from the single player, I think I will do the third person because I'm more accustomed to it. And I think it just plays better. Yeah. Multiplayer. I know at the beginning I was kind of against the first person view. Now, because of the recent cheating and stuff that's been going on PUBG, I've actually been playing more in the first person. And I'm a little bit more comfortable playing it there. But I'm open for both as long as it works, as long as it plays well. It shouldn't make a difference. It's just preference, view preference. But it will be separated like it is like everybody else. Like you'll see it, you'll have dedicated third person and dedicated first person views.
Paris, you still playing this first person or third person?
Just have to wait and see. I mean, as an example, when Grand Theft Auto 5 had the first person mode, I tried it out and I just simply didn't like it.
Okay. Well, also part of the leaks, it says that the campaign will change based on the character choice and decisions. Has that happened before? No. I never seen that. Usually it's typical the same type of game from the Grand Theft Auto in the past. And the last Red Dead wasn't like that at all. So that's good to change it up like that. It reminds me a little bit of Mass Effect. A little bit. That's cool. Any comments on that? Or just move on?
Cool? Yeah, let's just move on.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right, so it's time for fan mail. We have a lot of questions here. So, Pete, ready?
I am ready.
All right.
Here we go.
It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? My name is Kyle. I'm calling you from San Diego, California. Been listening to you guys for the last year or two. Got a strange connection. I actually have you on Spotify. They gave me as a recommendation, Gamertag Radio, randomly. Wasn't a big gamer. You guys have inspired me to kind of get back into it. I was a big Nintendo 64, first generation Xbox type guy. But I've really grown to appreciate you guys and listen to the camaraderie and the family that you guys have built. Got a question. With everything crazy going on in the world today and kind of all the bipartisan values, not to politicize everything, but it's funny. I talk about gaming with friends and you hear on the news all the time about, all these kids with access to video games and, you know, what they can see, does it desensitize them? you know, when they decide to, you know, pull off a horrific act or, you know, see a gun in real life, are we desensitizing the youth, you know, with video games? And I see a group like you three, you know, who are extremely eloquent and have great camaraderie together. And I see gaming, you know, bring individuals like yourselves together when you talk about the community. And, you know, Paris always says it's bigger than, it's bigger than gaming. It's more about the family, and that's what brings you guys together. I would just like to hear your rebuttal to the ludicrous comments that people make that, you know, gaming is only inducing these values in individuals that cause them to do, you know, crazy things and desensitize them to things like violence and more that it's about creativity and, you know, the uniqueness that somebody can build, you know, something from the ground up like these beautiful games we're seeing in the modern age. So not to get too introspective on it, but just to create a dialogue around it. First time calling in. Love you guys. Thank you.
So I'm going to speak up first on this one. First of all, thanks, Kyle, for you know, jumping in and sending us a voicemail. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man.
So I went to a PAX panel a couple of years ago with respects to this. You know, it was desensitization of children in video games based on, you know, violence and stuff like that. And the common theme throughout all of that, and it's something that I kept up on over the years. So, you know, because I've got two kids of my own, you know, me and my wife, we have, you know, a beautiful son and daughter. They both play video games. Hell, one just started playing Rainbow Six Siege now. And everything that we were exposed to at that PAX panel, as well as on our own, we've never been able to find a study that shows and demonstrates that there's an association between aggression or that shows a desensitization towards violence because of the video games. At the end of the day, it's upbringing, teaching your children the difference between right and wrong. I wouldn't be surprised. This could be, and I don't want to try to get this or turn this into a political conversation or whatever, but until there's a scientific fact, I find it difficult for me to believe that just because I play a video game that happens to feature, you know, handguns and grenades and machine guns, that I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to turn out to be a violent person. I've played video games all my life and I've never had that problem, right? So I think a lot of that has to do with the upbringing of your child, not leaving your child to become a, you know, not leaving your video game console to be a babysitter for your children. You know, being involved with your children. If they are going to play a game on your Xbox or PC or PlayStation, play with them. Play in a co-op experience so that when you see an environment or you see an experience like that, we'll take, you know, No Russian from Call of Duty, where you're in that episode, you're in that instance, and you can stop and talk to your child and say, you know, and have that conversation with them, because I think that's the best way to get across is like you talk to your children, you talk to your kids as people, not as, you know, you're not talking down to them or, you know, trying to use any kind of power, you know, influence or whatever, but you talk to them and say, you know, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings on what you just saw? Right. And have that, you know, that discussion with them, and you teach them. That's what we do as parents, right? We teach our children. And hell, I've got it tattooed on my leg. So yeah, that's going to be, you know, that's my thought on it. I still haven't seen anything. And if you want, you know, if you want to send me a message or whatever on fan mail, or jump in our Discord, you know, I'd love to send you some of the links that, you know, I followed and read up on to show.
And there's also a lot of friends of mine that, you know, they have kids and they don't know much about gaming. So every time their kids are asking them like, hey, mom, can I get this game? Can I get this game? That will help me out. Like, Danny, do you recommend this game for my kid, for my son or for my daughter? Like, one of them were, I think they're 13 years old and they were trying to gas his mom for her to buy Grand Theft Auto for him. And it's like, that game is not for kids, man. You know, he will come up saying, he would say, oh, but all my friends in school, they have that game. So I think it's okay for me also to have that game too. And that's the problem. A lot of the parents need to also to do research before they buy all these games during the holidays and stuff. Because, you know, back then, my parents, they would just buy the game because they think it's for kids because it's a video game, right? But the good thing is that they raised me right. And look, I played when I was in my teens, I played Mortal Kombat, Night Trap, and all these other controversial games when I was young. But at the same time, they raised me right. I was not 24/7 playing video games. But now that the games has been even more realistic than ever, it's good for parents to do their research, man. And like you said, Pete, just because they're playing 24/7 playing video games, now the parents think that this is like a babysitter taking care of their kids, man. You know, so I think that's the mistake, man. It's all about the parents and how you raise your kids, man. You know, and there's a time to play games, and there's a time for them. Yo, let them go outside, man. Enjoy life, man. You know. So
yep, and
Paris.
Well, I just wanted to add one quick thing. Sandy Hook was one of the most deadliest killings in American history, and Adam Lanza, who obviously was found guilty for killing all of those kids in school. Do you know what game it was that he was obsessed with? I mean, yeah, he had like Call of Duty, you know, Dead or Alive, and Grand Theft Auto.
Was it Doom? Was it Doom?
Dance Revolution.
Wow.
Okay. So it's not video games desensitizing people. That in that respect, in that case, that was more of a mania within his psyche, because he would actually go to the arcade and play games to the point and get frustrated at the game, and the owner would have to disconnect the video game so that he would actually leave the establishment and go home. You know. So again, that's more of a mental issue with people. So you know, it's not always, it might be a video game that steered him towards that mania, but it wasn't the violence in the game that desensitized him or drove him towards that. So sorry, Paris, I know it was your turn. I just wanted to drop in with that.
I mean, you guys said it all. Not too much else I can really add to that.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Listening to Gamertag Radio.
Want to go to the next voicemail, Pete?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
Here we go.
Go for it.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? My name is Javier from Miami. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm curious to know, after listening to your podcast, your previous podcast, about what you guys think the new Xbox and the new PlayStation consoles will look like in comparison to the ones that we have right now. You know, Xbox One X and PlayStation 4 Pro are absolutely incredible as far as systems go. But what really makes them, what's going to be a part of the new Xbox and new PlayStation that really is a selling point for people to go out and buy this thing? And also another question for you guys, just really quick off the top of my head, wondering which of the three of you guys have played Celeste yet, because I just got my hands on it on my Switch and it is incredible. I'm curious to know which one of you guys have actually played it yet. But thank you guys for the show. I listen to it every time you guys upload. Thank you guys so much for the hard work you guys put into this show. Thank you guys, and have a great day. Later.
All right, Danny. That was Javier from Miami. Thanks for calling in, leaving a message. I want to go in
Real five.
I want to go in reverse. I've never heard of Celestia, so I don't know. Is that the Starlight stuff?
Is that the 8-bit style game that is kind of like it reminds me of kind of like Castlevania style slash. Is that the one? I can't remember, because if that's the one that he's talking about for the Nintendo Switch, I have that saved. Like, I'm planning to. The thing is, I'm going out of town in a few weeks, and I have a couple games that I have, like, I'm planning to buy. The thing is, I haven't been playing anything, honestly, for like the past month. I've been super busy. I haven't played anything, but that's one of the games that I have it on the side. I'm planning to buy it. So I can't comment. I don't know if it's good or not. I am trying to stay away from all the reviews because I want to be surprised. So, yeah, there you go.
All right. Paris, have you heard or anything? Seen anything with regards to this game?
No, it's the first that I'm hearing of it. But to go to his first question, I mean, really the only thing, because 8K is just way too far away. So we're kind of, I don't want to say stuck, but we're kind of living in this 4K HDR era for probably until at least the mid-2020s before we can even realistically start thinking about 8K. So with the next consoles, when they come out, I know we've kind of been talking about this a lot lately. I mean, it's frame rate at this point, right? They all got to be doing native 4K, and they got to be doing a high frame rate. I mean, anything less, don't make the console. Keep what you got right now. There's no point, in my opinion. So that would probably be the big thing to look for whenever they do decide to go to the next one, which, like I was saying before, I'm really starting to think now 2021. I don't even see 2020.
Every week he's pushing it up.
I said this is what I said last week, and I explained myself.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying that you one time you said 2019.
No, I've never said 2019.
No, they said they're gonna announce in 2019 and then release.
Okay, forget it. Okay. Go ahead. What do you think?
I'm just it's so good. No, but you're right. I mean, what else they could do besides that, man? Is it going to be worth it for us to just buy on day one or just wait? You know, and it's going to, what, cost $400 by the time it comes out?
We hope that it comes out and it's $400 or less. I mean, I think at this point, the way technology is going, where it's cheaper and cheaper to manufacture, the only thing that I could see that potentially being more than $400 now is as a result of all this cryptocurrency stuff. It did drop significantly. I think it was yesterday, the day before. So hopefully that starts lowering prices, but it's starting to get to the point where that may cause an increase in price on your next console because they can't manufacture it because all the video card components are being sourced and purchased elsewhere for cryptocurrency. So, I'd like to see them maybe bring it more to the size and shape of maybe a shield. I don't know if that's what he was talking about with the square shape or rectangular shape or as a set top box, or if he was thinking maybe he wants to be a, you know, where he's asking for features, right? I think from a feature set, I think I agree with Paris. You got to have 4K 60. But I don't even think that 4K is still sufficient in the consumer wild to be the standard for 2018, right? Are there enough 4K TVs in consumer living rooms and bedrooms for it to now be the standard bearer, or is 1080p still? I'd like to see consoles be dynamic enough to support a 1080, 4K, and a 1440 in between. I think that would be fantastic, and I think that should be a standard or a default setting within it as well.
And what about the digital file size? How's that going to be? It sounds like it might be pretty big, like over 100 gigs.
Well, you think about it. The more games you start pushing the 4K landscape, the bigger those files have to be. I mean, especially if you start throwing in Atmos and digital audio. I mean, think about the first year that Titanfall came out. What was it, like 70% of that game file download was audio files, right? So the more video games start catering towards the video and audio file, the much larger that those things start to, you know, those things start to be. So then that 1 terabyte is going to have to be the default or the de facto hard drive that comes in these things. So now you have to start looking at maybe doing what Microsoft does and saying, okay, we'll just slap in an external and it'll be, in this case, faster, which is something that I learned when we had Albert Pinello on. I always figured if you kept it local to the drive and to the bus that you would be a lot, you know, it would allow it to access those files quicker, when in reverse, it was actually, if you had them plugged into your external, it actually ran it faster because it was separate and it didn't have to worry about the overhead of the OS or the hardware itself. It was actually able to access it quicker. Or do what they do with PlayStation and allow you to swap out your hard drives. I think if that just might be a little bit too, that might be too cerebral for common users. I don't know, Danny, are you comfortable opening up your PS4 or Xbox to put in a brand new hard drive?
No.
I know Paris, no, I think I can speak with Paris. I'm pretty sure that him and I would be comfortable doing that because we've done it on more than 100 occasions, whether it be for personal or at work, because we work in IT, but, or make it both. Give us the option to say, let me just connect it via USB, or let me go ahead and buy an external hard drive and throw it in there.
I'm a klutz, man. I can't be building a PC.
It's actually easier than you would think.
I'll be dropping all kinds of stuff.
It's like 6 or 7 screws, and that's it, man. You're done. Really. It is honestly that easy.
I'm a klutz, man. No way. No way. Unless you guys want to build it for me, I'll be like, hey, thanks, man.
But you don't learn anything. You don't learn anything if we do it for you.
Pete, I'm not here to like, oh, let me learn how to build. No, I just want to buy it already done and just play and enjoy it. I'm learning too many other things, man. I'm learning how to edit and all this stuff. You know, like, I want to learn that stuff. Building a PC is not my thing. Paris is cracking up over there. Oh, man, it's all good. It's all good. You want to say anything, Paris? Or you're good? Because you're just staring at me laughing.
No, I'm good.
All right, it's all good. All right, next voicemail, Pete.
Sure.
Hey, what's going on, GTR crew? This is Rob from Virginia Beach. First, thanks for all the great content. I got a little bit behind because I prefer to watch you guys on Twitch just because I like all the extra content versus on Stitcher. It's just cuts. It's just the podcast. That's just my personal preference. But you guys have been keeping me sane while I'm out here currently in the middle of a field building a tiny house. So I'll probably post some pictures on Discord later on, some progress photos, so that way you guys can see how a gamer builds a tiny house. But this call is actually for Paris, just busting his chops a little bit. I usually always agree with Paris. We have a lot in common with our opinions, but when it comes to the Sega Game Gear, I actually love that system. I thought it was super awesome that you could play it in the dark. With the Game Boy, you had to have that flashlight adapter. And with the Game Gear, you had to wear like a, you know, pair of sunglasses just to play it in the dark. Sure, its battery life was only 3 minutes. You know, sure, I had to have a bunch of extra battery packs, which probably ended up making the system weigh like 50 pounds when I was toting around. But I enjoyed X-Man on that game. I enjoyed the Sonics on that game, on that system. So that's just one thing that I disagreed with Paris. So far and few between, our opinions disagree, but that was one of them. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Rob from Virginia Beach. I would love to see those pictures of those little houses. I think it's fascinating that people want to live in those little houses. I couldn't do it. I like having my room in space and, you know, being 6'2". I like to be able to, stand up and stretch. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. But yeah, I would love to see those pictures in the Discord server. Yep. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you know, he disagreed with me all he wants, but if I need a freaking generator just to play it more than 3 minutes, then sorry. I mean, he said it, though. That was the whole thing behind the Game Gear. It wasn't the games themselves. Like, Sonic was fun on the Game Gear. It was the fact that, I mean, you'd spend more in a week on batteries than you did for the whole damn Game Gear. You're constantly having to put new batteries in. And it's not like technology today where you can get like a rechargeable battery pack or something like that. This is the 90s, baby. You spend grip of money on Duracells and Energizer back then. It's crazy.
Yeah. When I had a Game Gear, right? So you know, for those that are in New York, that lived in New York City, you know, in the subway, you walk around, whatever, you're in the train, whatever, and sometimes you see people coming up, yo, man, I'm selling batteries, man, for cheap, man, $5 for 20. I was like, what, 20 batteries for $5? So from far away, it looked like it was Duracell. So I was like, man, I'm buying this, man. I gave him $5. I'm excited. You know, I'm going to use this for my game gear. Dude, I put it on less than 5 minutes, and it was a bootleg Duracell battery. So I don't know. That was my experience with game gear. Even with bootleg batteries, it was worse. With regular battery, it was just bad. I don't know. The only way I had fun, if I had it connected to the plug and that's it, you know? But yeah, not a fan of Game Gear, man. I think even though there was no Game Boy Color at that time, I had fun with my Game Boy, the original one. So, cool. All right. Is there any other voicemails? Or?
Yep, we got one last voicemail. And here we go.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing great. This is Keon. I just had a very quick question for you guys pertaining to E3. It looks like the tickets are going back on sale February 12th for $150. And if you don't get them within 2 days or something like that, goes up to $250. But the interesting thing that I saw was they said that they're giving the media 3 hours leeway versus the public. So my question to you guys is that enough time for you guys to actually be able to do your job in that 3-hour window? I know that was a difficult problem for you guys last year. And that's about it. As always, guys, definitely appreciate the hard work. And thank you guys again for giving your listeners a platform to ask you guys questions. With that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Paris, sorry about that long message last time, brother. All right, y'all. Bye-bye.
Shout out to Keon.
So let me just say this right off the jump. I think the previous caller from San Diego took the prize from you, Keon, so you don't have to worry about having the longest voicemail anymore. But on his E3 question, yeah. You know, it's funny when that news came out and I saw the schedule, I was like, this is better. Still not perfect. Here's what happened. You guys probably remember too better than me, but the first day was absolute chaos with the public. I was like, what the hell are we doing here? I'm never coming here again. I'm done. Second day was a little better. Third day, not so bad. But I kind of wonder if the third day wasn't so bad because a lot of people leave on Thursday. So I just don't think there was as many media people there as there was on the first 2 days. Yeah, this gives us a 3-hour window. Problem is, everybody and their mom is going to try and book their appointments in that 3-hour window. So
that is true.
So what's going to happen is the people that don't get their appointment in that 3-hour window, they're going to be thrown right back into the chaos of the public being there. So knock on wood, we'll see. I'm still convinced we're going to see more things happen offsite than we have in previous years. There's just going to be a lot of offsite stuff, I think. And they're just going to leave the convention center, just going to throw it to the wolves and all that. They'll probably take more advantage of the upstairs meeting rooms. And then, like I said, there'll just be things like across the street, you know, where we can go and do appointments and stuff like that. Cause I'm excited for E3. Cause I mean, we get to see all our gaming family and everything, you know, for the week and hang out. It's always a great time, but I'm not excited for E3 because I shudder to think about that's with the public. I still think it's a mistake personally. And that's not being an elitist a-hole because I think everyone should experience it. But again, we were just like we're at PAX this year. PAX is perfect for that. I said it before, I say it again. Do PAX for the public. Leave E3 for the media. Comic-Con, PAX is for the public. E3 is for the media. That's how it should be. Wait, what next? What next? Is the public going to go to GDC too? Are we going to do that?
And DICE? That's not going to happen.
And DICE? Can we do that?
That's not going to happen. No, but you know what, Paris? I think this is my theory. You tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I think that the reason why the second and third day, it was a combination, why there was less people. One, the ESA got more organized, right, with security.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think a lot of the people that went there for the first time, like, this is a waste of time. I've been here in line for 6-7 hours.
I disagree.
While I'm here.
I disagree with that.
And they would just leave.
I disagree. Because I say this to all first timers that have gone to E3 over the years. See, you forgetting your first time going to E3. I remember mine like it was yesterday. I will never forget 2001 walking into West Hall and you come through the thing and EA's right there and the big Madden thing was up there. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'll stay here all day. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't think people's leaving. I think. Like you said, I think they got a little more organized. And then I think a lot of media people left on that Thursday. Because if you remember, a lot of, like, just the Activision booth, for example, you could go play Destiny 2 or you could play Call of Duty. I remember if you didn't get in line the second the convention center opened, you sat in that line all day just to play one time.
And the line
never lessened. So people weren't leaving. They were still packed.
I think that was more because the demos were so long that they didn't accommodate for the additional 15,000 people that had come through the doors. So like if you weren't there within that first 15-minute run, it was done for the day. Like you couldn't play Call of Duty or Destiny. It was like 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And it was that queue was already packed for the day.
You just reminded me of something. So Danny, I'm pretty sure you hadn't been going to E3 at this point.
What?
Remember the year, so this had to have been 2006, I guess, right? Or 7? The year that they debuted the PlayStation 3. And it was and it was the boomerang controller still. It wasn't the DualShock that we have today. It's when they had that damn boomerang. And they were letting people go to the Sony booth to do like a demo of the PlayStation 3. Like you didn't play it. It was just you sat in there to see a demo.
The theater. Yeah,
that is still to this day the longest line I've ever seen in my life. Even more,
that was pretty long.
Even more than Zelda, because remember Zelda was crazy 1 year too. This was even worse than Zelda for that PlayStation 3, and that was when they were trying to put like 80,000 people in the convention center back then. Oh my God, that was crazy.
Well, that was long. That was long, and also the original Wii line was pretty long too.
Yeah, that was long too.
That was long. That was an all day thing.
It's got to be between the Wii. Which I forget which Zelda it was. One of the Zelda games and that PlayStation 3 all-time longest lines ever. Got to be.
Well, remember also, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year where Nintendo, like, they apparently had a demo that was like 15 minutes long as opposed to like 5 minutes.
It was Zelda. It was freaking Zelda. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. So it was this Zelda. That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane.
I remember that one. Nobody even bothered. Like if you didn't have your appointment within that first like couple of hours, you were done. And like the line actually.
That wasn't even guaranteed though.
And the line went out the back. Like you actually had to wait in the hall, like in a parking lot driveway or something like that. Or I think it was like an alleyway or something for service cars. Like that thing went through and then downstairs and into the service alley. That was insane.
And you know what's crazy, Pete, about that situation? There was people that had appointments to play that game, but the game was so long and there was only a certain amount of time.
They weren't able to accommodate.
They missed it. They missed it. Or they already shut down the doors for E3. Like, oh, come the next day. Too many people, man. It was a disaster. That demo was way, way too long. Was there any other demos in the past that you think it was way too long too that you remember?
Oh man.
From any company?
Oh, I got one, but I didn't really care that it was long because I thought it was amazing at the time. Splinter Cell, was it Pandora Tomorrow or Chaos Theory? It was one of them, but they were showing off the co-op. Oh my God. I swear that was like a 30-minute demo they were doing. It was amazing.
You were there by yourself or with Jay at that time?
I can't remember. No, you know what? Definitely wasn't with Jay because Jay, if you remember the first E3 Jay went to was the 2008 one where it was like the convention center was empty and Nintendo had their thing down in Hollywood. And remember that was the Honda Hybrid Confessions and Jay was on a mission walking 300 miles per hour. Like, this is not a game. This is real life. And everything was serious.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, my God.
I remember that. That was a lot of memories.
Yeah.
That. I'm thinking of other demos that was long, man. So many demos that we got to see in the past.
Oh, I can tell you the best demo I've ever had. And you weren't, we were together at that E3, but you weren't with me when I went to go see this. It was 2007, Santa Monica. I don't even remember which hotel it was, but it's where 2K was for their hotel. And I went to get a demo of BioShock. And it was literally me and two other people. And literally Ken Levine sat right next to me with the controller in his hand and walked us through that first level of BioShock. That was freaking amazing.
I know you had your mouth like this.
Oh my God. I was in heaven, man. Absolute heaven. Because if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, because then after that, I got to interview Ken Levine for Uncle Gamer. And you, now, hey, we're going down memory lane, folks, because I got to interview Ken Levine. I'm going to tell this whole story, so give me a little bit of room. So I had booked the thing with 2K to interview Ken Levine. It was supposed to be me and Jay doing an interview. And I remember I was at work. Something happened. Jay couldn't go, and it was just going to be me by myself. And I didn't have enough time to make it home, so I literally did the interview at work. I went in a meeting room at work, and I closed the door, and the whole time I was beating sweat coming out. I was like, please, no one walk into here while I'm doing this. Oh, my God. And I talked to him over the phone, and I recorded the whole thing, and that wound up being one of the best interviews I ever had. I got so much information out of him about BioShock that no one else had. And I remember I let you hear it or told you about it or something, and you told me, you were like, dude, bro, you got to put it out. Exclusive, podcast exclusive. You're the only one that got it.
Yeah, well, because Paris wasn't even sure. Like, should I do that? I go, hell yeah. No. Mention another podcast that has that interview, man. And Paris was like, you know what? That's true, man. And he did it. But that was a really cool interview, man. Well, man, I wish we could dig and find that audio, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would love to find that. That one and the one I did with Casey. Oh, again, we're telling war stories. So then Mass Effect 2, shout out to Stephanie over at Do the Deep Silver stuff. She hooked us up back in the day. Yep. She hooked us up back in the day. Forever grateful. But I got a one-on-one interview with Casey Hudson. And even then, again, another scenario. I'm at work when it got scheduled. I literally did it in my car. I took my laptop in my car with me and over Skype. Did it over Wi-Fi, and I talked to Casey Hudson, and recorded the whole thing. And again, one of the best interviews I did, because I just remember at that time I was so proud of it, because the BioWare forums picked up on it, and like they had like this thread going with like all the best like just media stuff from it, and my interview was like right at the top. I always carried that as a badge of honor. Because Mass Effect 2, because I was so hyped about Mass Effect 2 coming up to it. I had done so much research on it. I was so prepared. And I could tell when I was talking to Casey Hudson, he was made like, damn, this mofo know his stuff. Oh, okay, let's go, you know. And we had a great, great conversation about it. And the game lived up to the hype. It's one of the rare games that actually live up to the hype.
That's dope. Yeah, we have like crazy stories like that, man. Doing interviews, random places like that. Thinking where I've done like crazy interviews, man, in the past at E3. I don't remember, man. There's been so many. Well, I know we mentioned in the past about the voice actor for Gears of War.
Yeah, that John DiMaggio. Yeah.
He was drunk. he spilled the beans on a lot of things.
By hell, if you want to talk about spill the beans, Titanfall.
Titanfall 2.
Yeah,
it was Timefall 2.
Yeah.
Yo, Paris, let me tell you, man, if we had a reporter.
Let's be careful what we say.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was good. Yeah.
So going back to the best or favorite demo, for me, it would have to be 1313, Star Wars 1313. I know you're going to hate me for bringing that thing back up from the grave.
I've never seen it live, man.
Yeah, me either.
Ever. Sitting there watching that whole thing unfold. I stepped outside. I turned to Ryan, Agent M from Marvel, because him and I were sitting next to each other, and he was just like, "Yeah, I don't need to see anything else." We just looked at each other, like, "All right, I don't need to see anything else at E3. This is all I need to talk about. I just want to talk about this. Let's go get some shrimp po' boys and just talk about comic books." And that was it. Like that set me on the path to PC gaming. That is what sent me home. Started, all right, PowerPoint deck. need to come up with money to buy a computer, need to build a computer, need to buy this, need to buy a video card, monitor, the whole nine. That is the thing that sent me back off into PC gaming. I thought I had given it up and let it go forever, and that game sucked me right back in, and then LucasArts just like, nope.
Yeah, goodbye. no game.
Nope.
Do you remember this, Paris, that we got invited to like some Microsoft lunch meeting with execs?
Yep. With Trina.
It was with Trina.
Yep.
Trina was sitting next to us, and everybody else was like major media, right? Yep. So they're asking her for our name and stuff. I straight up like, yeah, my name is Godfrey. I didn't mention Danny Pena. I was like, yeah. Yo, Godfrey, Gamertag Radio. And Paris looked at me like, what? But here's the thing. We took over that conversation, man.
Yeah, because Major Nelson was hosting it. Yeah.
He was hosting it. Again. Any questions? Me and Paris were hands up. Like, we were taking advantage of the situation, like, of the moment. You were like, oh, man, we're going to ask questions. Because, nobody was asking questions, man. And that's the thing. We're like an indie site against like a bunch of major media outlets, and nobody said anything. And I'm like, yo, we started that conversation.
If you remember, that was the year of the new Xbox dashboard experience and the avatars. That was the year that debuted, because that E3, dude, I don't even know how I remember this stuff. That E3, Microsoft did their press conference in the convention center. Because I remember, again, let me pick this name up before I say it. I remember I ran into Luke Smith, like I run into him at every damn E3, right? But I remember Luke, he hadn't been at Bungie too long at that point, and they were doing ODST, and he was pissed because something, they didn't announce it the way that they were supposed to, or something like that. There was some controversy with the announcement of ODST, and him and the other Bungie guys were mad. That's the memory I have.
I can tell you what I know. I'm not going to mention the name of the outlet, but this is a pretty cool story. This is a long time ago anyways, but I'm not going to mention the name of the outlet. All right. So what I heard was this person, this is a fan of that site. He was working at some, I think it was like a bar or restaurant, something like that. And supposedly, just had a conversation while people were drinking during I think one of those like media events or something in San Fran, I think it was, or some other, maybe LA, I can't remember, and heard about that game. This person sent an email to the outlet, and the outlet talked about it. I don't know if it was like YouTube or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And that's how they got leaked. But it wasn't known as ODST. They were calling it the next Halo or something like that. And that's what happened, Paris. So I think that's what happened. Everybody knew that there was a Halo, something Halo related coming, because it got leaked that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's how it happened.
Yep.
So that's how it happened. Yeah. I think I read that too also in NeoGAF and stuff. So.
But see, going back to the whole point of, see, look at Keon, man. That's why Keon is the MVP, because he gets talking for 20 minutes about something we really expect. But this is the whole reason why, like, E3, I may hear me complain, oh, the public and all that, but, you know, these are moments that you'll never forget. You know what I mean? Like, just being able to see everyone and just the games and just all the stuff that happens around E3 that, you know, I might complain about it being crowded, but I'll just put up with it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, for as long as I'm able to continue to go, I'm going to continue to go, because, I mean, it's something that I'll always look back fondly. And, I mean, think about it. We're talking about stuff from, like, 10 years ago. You know, it's crazy, crazy how long we've been going, man. You know, and it's like I said, I originally started going basically just sneaking my way in, more or less. I had no reason to even be there, and I was still going, you know? Wow, it's crazy. Well, good stuff.
So a friend of mine hooked me up. He only got one badge from my brother, and I had to use somebody else's badge. So I was Lucas for the week of E3. Lucas, yeah. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh,
E3 is a, what's up?
One more memory I have. So, okay, this is kind of a back-to-back one. So I remember the year going for Halo 2, where it was, so this had to have been 2002, 2003, whatever, where they debuted Halo 2 with that demo. Remember that demo that was never, wasn't a real game?
Oh, classic.
And what's his name? Joe Staten was kind of the hosting it, like in the theater room at the Xbox booth. Yo, we went to that thing like 4 times. That's how amazing that was at the time. Like when Master Chief jumps on the ghost at dual wheels, everyone like, ah! Like, that was so amazing, right? And I remember the very next year, we're like, oh my God, Halo 2 is going to be playable on the show floor. Oh my God, I can't wait. I remember we got there early. We were like right up at the front. You know how you got to go up to like the escalator thing to go into the one hall. That's where the Xbox booth was. And the Xbox booth is past EA, was like way in the back. Yo, I remember those doors open. Full sprint to the Xbox booth because we thought Halo 2 was going to be playable. And turn, this is my son coming here. And then and then we run to the booth and we're looking around like, where is it? Wasn't there. They didn't have it playable. It was only behind closed doors.
You had no appointment.
I wasn't media then, so I was bummed out for the rest of E3. I was so bummed because of that year, man. But those are the memories, man. I remember that stuff.
Those are the best memories.
Yeah, it's the best, man.
Those are the best. But my favorite memory has to be, man, I'm excited. P is going to E3. First time ever. Oh, man, I can't wait. P, super hype about Miami Heat. He thinks he's LeBron James. Start playing. And I don't know what happened. He fell or something. Dude, he ended up going to LA. Like, he was using a wheelchair the whole time. His first E3 experience. Yeah, now, Pete,
I was playing
how was that experience?
So I was playing basketball with my friends at work. And we had played like 6 games. And I was exhausted, right? I was like, I'm done. Wife and daughter were out in the driveway in the parking lot waiting for me. And they're like, dude, we're going to play one more game. We need one more. You're the last person. It's, you know, we're going to do first to 11. We're not going to do like, you know, first to 21. I'm like, all right, fine. Let's go get into the game. It's like 3-0 or something like that. We're winning. Guy goes up for a shot. I block him. I come down and I step on his foot, snap my ankle, and I hit the dirt. And I look up and like, I just see white, right, from the pain. And I broke my ankle. My heel touched my shin, and it was a wrap. And went to the hospital, and next thing you know, I'm like, can I go to E3 though?
it was like 7 days before, right?
It was like a week and a half, maybe 10 days. Like, I was still taking pain pills. Okay. Like, I remember we were recording. I was like, I hope I'm coherent enough, because I was pilled out of my head because of the pain. But yeah, I had my friend, shout out to Paul, and he was our production assistant. Mm. And he literally, he was my chauffeur. He pushed me around in that wheelchair all around E3 for 3 days straight. Studio,
that is
parties.
Classic.
Hell, we went to the Harmonix party, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. And we were all chilling, you know, me in a wheelchair, but he had dancing and stuff. Yeah. It was a blast.
All right. My last question for you guys before we wrap it up. The year that you got your first media badge, do you remember your first appointment?
No, not even.
Ooh, that's a good one. That was Santa Monica.
Oh, it was Santa Monica Days? Yeah. That was your first?
Uh-huh. That was media.
I thought it was before that.
No, it was media. I mean, because think about it. I didn't start Uncle Gamer until 2006. After E3 of 2006 is when I started Uncle Gamer. So it was the next year, because then I was an Xbox MVP at that point. So that was that next year, 2007. Yeah. And me and you were hanging out. Yeah. And then that was the one you were EA had sponsored you. You had the hotel that was like right across the street from the Santa Monica High School where E3 was doing their, or Microsoft was doing their E3 press conference. Yeah. Microsoft doing an E3 press conference. And I never forget, we saw Robert Bowling and Grant Collier like walking, cause they were doing Call of Duty 4. They were walking to the high school or whatever. And we're like, Call of Duty sucks. And they looked up like, who said this? They're looking around all crazy. Yeah. Oh, that
and
was
And then we saw GamerScore blog.
Yeah.
And we were saying the same thing. Everybody that we knew, they were walking around there. Yo, we just screamed from the window. Yeah. Hey, but like a bunch of little kids.
Remember though, if you remember, we could hear them rehearsing that afternoon. Cause remember the press briefing was that night. And that afternoon from your hotel room, we heard them practicing and we could hear, because remember that was Halo 3 and they had like the symphony doing the music live.
We heard everything.
And we could hear it. We could hear the whole thing. We're like, oh, this is Halo.
You know, and you, I don't know if you remember this, Paris. Let me see if you remember this. While that was happening, I had my vision camera from the Xbox 360
I remember.
Connected to the laptop.
I remember. Because I was like, this guy's a freaking maniac.
And I was streaming live. Guys, guys, breaking news. This is when we were using livestream.com. There was no Twitch, no YouTube, gaming, none of that. So we were using Livestream, and we were streaming the whole thing like, oh, my God, look, you hear that? We hear the Halo 3 soundtrack right now. Like, they're playing it. They're rehearsing. Yo, we were, like, doing that. Then when we went inside to the press conference, every media outlet, something happened with their live stream. It wasn't working. We managed to stream the whole press conference, and everybody found our everybody found ours
with a Mac.
They're watching there.
vision camera
from the 360, and I was using the built-in mic from my computer, getting all the sound from the press conference.
I remember I was actually at home. Genius. I think I was helping you guys out with that or something like that. That was insane.
And if you see you see pictures of me from that year, that was Fat Paris Prime back then, bro.
Man. Yeah, he was rocking the Lakers jersey all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Now my favorite memory was Paris going to E3. He had a tank top on. And a listener sent us an angry email saying, yo, they're disrespectful. That's not classy. Why Paris goes to E3 with wearing a tank top?
And that was the year they debuted the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Because remember, as a joke, I was like, I'm going to wear a green tank top to Xbox, and I'm going to wear a blue one to PlayStation. Yeah. And then some dude saw a picture of me, and he was mad. He was mad because he thought you're supposed to dress up. Oh my God. That was hilarious.
Classic. You see, that's the beauty about going to events. Stories like that. Man.
It's the history. Yeah. It's the history and the stories behind the story.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely, man. But we're gonna wrap it up. We've been over. Man, look at that. Keon sent that simple question about E3.
35 minutes later, man. We answered his question. This is exactly what he wanted. Remember, he was like 2 years ago. He was like, "Oh, I want you guys to have bigger, longer shows, because so you can listen to more while he's doing his while he's doing his daily haul." So
we'll see. That's why he started listening them long ass voicemails, extended out. He's like, "Well, he's like, if I talk for 35 minutes, then I'm gonna get a longer podcast because you gotta answer."
No, but shout out to everybody that called, man. That is cool to get also new listeners, emails or voicemails. That's cool, man. So, this is how we could create a conversation. It all depends on our listeners sending us questions, man. So it's cool. But thanks a lot. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. And also you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to review us if you have Apple Podcasts. And it will help us out big time. Big, big time. And February 25th, our world premiere of the Gamertag Radio documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. Make sure to tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on Twitch. And if you miss it live, don't worry, we're going to have the video on demand version up in there. And yeah, man. But let's watch it live together. That would be cool. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio and join us. Watch it live together. All right, until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.